Good morning, beloved. We're glad to meet you on another day this Wednesday, the middle of the week. Some people call it hump day, but we're glad to be here. On this day, we thank the Lord for awakening us and allowing us to go about our day and even to be with you here on this special edition of the St. James Missionary Baptist Church podcast, which yours truly is, Pastor of St. James Missionary Baptist Church. I am your host for this podcast, and this is a special podcast for this week. For this week, we are looking at the seven last words of Jesus Christ from the cross. We are also looking at these words as seven acts of love. John 3:16 from the scriptures tells us this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." It is in the spirit of this verse that we look at these seven acts or words of love. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, our podcast theme is "How important is the Word of God to you when it comes to," and at that point is where we usually insert whatever it is our topic is for that day. Well, for that segment, I'll say, because sometimes our topics extend more than one day. But this is what this is. This is what we do. We have an opportunity as we share with you that you can also share with us your thoughts, your comments. We welcome them. And there's no question, no doubt about it, that our podcast is Christ-oriented. So if this is not the type of podcast you're interested in, I understand that too. But if we've just piqued your curiosity, like we said, this is a special edition of our podcast where it is focusing solely on this holy week that we as believers hold very dear. And what we've elected to do is take one of the seven last words that Jesus said from the cross each day of the week. We started on Sunday, Palm Sunday. We've been taking a different word each day. We'll do that all the way up through Friday, and that will end our sixth word, and then we'll take a break Saturday, of course, and then on Sunday, Resurrection Day, we will conclude with our seventh word during our regular usual Sunday morning broadcast. We don't usually do that on Zoom, but we will, Lord willing, we will this Sunday, as well as streaming to Facebook as usual. Having said that, okay, how important is the word of God to you when it comes to the word of anguish, the fourth word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which comes from, we're taking the version coming from Mark, the 15th chapter and the 31st verse, which reads as follows: "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That is the fourth word. And I'll say it again. I'm pronouncing it as I've been taught, and I see how to pronounce it. And that's important. You'll find that out in a minute, a couple of minutes as well. "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The Gospel of St. Mark, the 15th chapter and the 34th verse. Now, some of you have heard this saying countless times. And even though it paints a picture in your hearts and minds that you never seem to get used to, it may also seem that there is nothing new to add. Maybe until now. Now, I don't want anybody to panic or anything. I'm not trying to come up with some new doctrine, some new teaching outside of what's already in the Word of God. But maybe the perspective we're coming from today might be a little different than what you experienced in the past. So I encourage you to stay with me as we go through this. Let us stop for a moment. We have to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you again, Lord, for allowing us to be here, for allowing us to be able to rise this morning, Lord, and to be able to participate in this podcast. We're praying, Lord, that you direct our thoughts, our speech, and most of all, Lord, as these airwaves go across, as these words go across the airwaves, we pray, Lord, that you would direct them, that what you want to be heard goes forth. And for those that are receiving it, Father, they may receive it, even in the same spirit that it is given. We know that the devil is the prince of the power of the air, Heavenly Father. He controls certain things of certain people. One thing comes from one person's mouth, and another thing is sometimes heard in the other person's ear. But Lord, if you're directing this, we know that what you would have to go forth is going to go forth and do that exactly what you would have it to do in the person's lives that it goes to. I pray, Lord, that you allow me to give forth that which you would have given the Heavenly Father, void of my pride, my vanity, and my ego. But as always, Lord, we're praying that some soul get edified, sanctified, and that you be glorified. This I do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we have stated, okay, it may seem like there's nothing new to add until now. Maybe until now. Now, some of you may not like where I'm going with this, but stay with me until I get there and see if the journey is worth it. Okay, now I'm saying that you may not like it, probably because it's not going to be used to what you're hearing, or you've heard something and you think I'm going to take you from where you've been going all the way to the left or all the way to the right. But just stay with it and see. I'm telling you exactly where I'm coming from, what gospel, what book, chapter, verse, and I encourage you always to look into it. And not just when I'm speaking with anyone that is giving, telling you what thus says the word of God, you check it for yourself and make sure that it's correct. Because there are, yes, a lot of false teachers out here, a lot of false preachers, and they're good and cunning at what they do when it comes to manipulating the word of God. So I want you to do that. Okay. Remind yourself that in the midst of Jesus' pain and suffering, he took the time to show a sinner that even though you might be in the most horrific situation you thought a person could probably be in this sinner's case, he was hanging on a cross being crucified. And yes, at the time, no more horrific event could a person find themselves in. I mean, if you had done something wrong, anything wrong, or and they sentence you to be crucified, I would imagine that some people might have died on the spot of a heart attack, because this is not a good thing to have happened to you, to be there. Nails in your feet and hands, hanging there, supporting your own body weight, maybe a little teeny board that your feet are on. And after a while, with no water, no food, in the heat of the day, in the cool of the night, as your body grows weaker and weaker, and you're hanging there to the point that you might even be asphyxiating, choking yourself, because yes, it's getting hard for you to support yourself, and you're just hanging there. not even able to breathe properly, to breathe out, but not able to bring in enough air, or vice versa. Not being able to bring in air, but not being able to expel enough of it. Either one of them is dangerous. It's terrible. Along with whatever pain and suffering you're going through, having been beaten, and some having even their very bones and their legs broken. Some that happens to many of them. Didn't happen to our Lord and Savior, praise God, but it happened to many of those who were hanging in there, holding out long as they could. But nevertheless, I want you to remind you that this is what Jesus did as he was up there on that cross suffering. To let a sinner know, okay, that even though you're in the worst possible situation you could be in, and some of you have experienced some things that you felt were the worst, may not have been the worst physically, but maybe it's the worst mentally, the worst spiritually. Maybe it seemed as though your whole world was turned around, and whatever it was happening to you at that time, man, it seemed like it was the worst that could possibly happen. But Jesus let this sinner know, just as sure as he lets you know, that not only does he care about your situation, he's right there with you. Right there with you. Okay? Right there with you. Okay? And in the midst of all that you're going through, okay? Family, friends might be gone, but he's still there. And in doing all that, he makes sure that you can be saved even in that very situation. He can be there and seem like everything is going completely wrong, but he can still save your soul in the midst of all of that. Also, let us know that when you're going through something and you find yourself in a position, maybe the years have gone by and you found that maybe your family, friends, I even have met a couple of people who've outlived, seem like they've outlived everybody in their family. Husband gone. Some cases, the wife is gone. Even the children are gone. Siblings gone. Parents been gone. A lot of the friends that they had, they have gone on. And they may feel as though they're all alone now. And being all alone, of course, brings about states of loneliness for some people. Because I want you to understand that loneliness and being alone is not always synonymous. There's some people that could be alone and they like that. Maybe they get themselves caught in their books or their music or whatever that entertains them, and they like being by themselves. They don't feel lonely at all. But then there are some people that feel alone and feel lonely and surrounded by many things that could be distractions for them. Surrounded by music, books, television, movies, or what have you, but they still feel lonely and alone. But Jesus, okay, let his mother know that, hey, I might be gone, but I'm gonna see that you're taken care of. See that you don't have to worry about having to go out in the cold and get something to eat, or sitting there at home and no one to talk to. I'm gonna see that that doesn't happen to you. Jesus, in the midst of his suffering, stops and does that. Okay? He's showing you. Now, what Jesus is showing you, okay, how he wanted to make sure those that he loved and care about were taken care of. Okay? Those that he didn't even know, but still wanted to know him. He's not so preoccupied with himself, with his pain and suffering, that he can't stop and say, oh no, You have a need here, a need that I promised that I would take care of. And that is a need for eternal salvation. Because, see, I'm the only one that can do this. This is what Jesus is saying. I'm the only one that can grab this. I'm the only one that can do this. So I have to stop what I'm doing and take care of your need. And that's what he showed that also. Now, having done that, even in his first words that he gave, he went on now, and he's sharing with us a word, another word. He's taking care of a sinner. He's taking care of his mother. He's done that. But now he's at a point where he wants to, he's going to show you the human side of himself. I'm going to this fourth word of Jesus. That's what I'm doing. I'm jumping right to the fourth word. And we have read it already. This is called the word of anguish. The word of anguish. You find this one again in Mark, the 15th chapter, in the 34th verse. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Okay. Now, Jesus again is showing you his human side. I'm gonna try to get this point now. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. It may be kind of quick for some, but I'm moving on. He's showing you his human side. He's showing you how he feels. And this is important for us to understand because, a lot of us go through different things. And many of us are quick to tell somebody, you don't know what I'm going through. How can you tell me you understand? But you can't say that to Jesus because he does know, because he's going through it also. And not just the actual act. This is what's important for us to remember. The act is one thing. Being crucified is one thing. But what comes along with that as you're there by yourself, as you get caught up in your own thoughts and your own feelings, all of that comes into play. And Jesus is showing us some of that at this point. He's showing us some of that. Okay. We hear, now I want you to get, I can't emphasize this enough. Don't miss this. Jesus' question to God is, why would he abandon him in this his time of greatest need? This is what many of you are saying. I've heard this, and I've said this myself. I've said this myself in some years. Some people have said that this might be one of the reasons why Jesus promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We find that in Hebrews 13:5. Because he knows the feeling of being forsaken. I kind of go along with that, and you'll see why I say kind of shortly, trust me. Now, for those people who contend that God could not bear to look upon the suffering of his son, so he had to forsake him in this his hour of greatest distress. I don't go along with that at all. I don't. Some have also said that God caused the darkness to come upon the land to hide his son from him because he couldn't look upon his son in his suffering. I don't believe that either. I don't. I told you some of you are not going to, like where I'm going with this, but just stay with me. We've been reading these words in the Bible, these words here. My God, why hast thou forsaken me for years? Some of us read it in Psalm 22, as well as in Matthew. Did you forget that English is not the original language for these words? The text says again, okay, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, I'm going to try to get this. Jesus didn't cry out to Adonai, Jehovah, our ruler, didn't cry out to him. He didn't cry out to Jehovah, the eternal, everlasting, loving God. Didn't do that. Or even to Abba, Father. But he cried out to Eloi. Eloi. Now, I know this word is interpreted as God in over 250 places in the Bible. I know that. I know that some people thought that Jesus was calling out to Elijah because of the sound of the name. That's why you hear me pronounce it the way I am. I can only imagine it, Jesus, being beaten and weak and whatever his voice, to some it might sound like he was saying Elijah, Elijah, but that's not what he would say. I want y'all to remember, understand that. But I also know about this word. When we look deep into the meaning of this word, when I say deep, go down to the root of what this word is, what it means. And you'll find the word El in there. And you'll find that is deep meaning. Okay? It also means strength, power, mighty, strong. That is what this means. And you'll find that same word in Psalm 22 in the first verse. Okay. But you'll also find it in, excuse me, Psalm 22, I believe it's the 19th verse. You'll find these words. I want y'all to get this. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Now, this would not be proper if I did not make sure. Y'all have to understand. I want to make sure I'm giving you the right thing. Memory is not good as it used to be. But so I want to check. I want to be right. Okay, I see Psalm 22. Yes, the 19th verse. But be not thou far from me. This way the King James reads it. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. That is what it says in the 19th verse of the 22nd chapter of Psalm, where you find that same word right there. Okay. Now, let me move on real quickly. I'm not trying to keep you all night and all day. Saints of God, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to be done. As Jesus hung on Calvary's cross, he could not look up and see the handiwork of his Father. He could not look up and see God's handiwork. Okay, he could not look up and see the sun shining through the reef, shining through and revealing a beautiful tapestry in the sky. That you have artists wishing they could just recreate it. They spend their lives trying to do so, trying to do even to duplicate it. God's beautiful handiwork. But Jesus couldn't look up and see that. Couldn't see the trees reverencing God as they swayed in the breeze. Couldn't hear the birds singing their praises to God. We hear them chirping, making their sound, singing their praise. He couldn't hear that. Okay. He couldn't look down and see the flowers lifting their petals in praise to God. He couldn't see where God revealed his handiwork in any of the wonderful things that he had made. And these very things were some of the things that Jesus was always able to draw strength from. and encouragement, even when he came to his own and they did not receive him. And when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he looked around and realized that all had left him. In all of these times, he was always able to draw strength and encouragement when he admired the beautiful handiwork of his Father, of God. But now, when Jesus was at his greatest point of suffering, he could not see any of his Father's handiwork. But most of all, he could not look up to see or even to speak to God. And this is time of greatest suffering. And this the time where he needs to be able to draw strength. To draw strength from his Father, from God. As we've seen Jesus pray numerous times in the scriptures, especially in John 17, that conversation couldn't take place now. It was not taking place because Jesus was doing something he had to do. He was doing something he had to do. His Father knew it. Jesus knew it. But you know, it's a lot different when here he is as man, feeling what man feels, feeling pain, suffering, loneliness, the feeling of being alone. Oh, there may be some people down at the foot of that cross, but hanging there, going through what he's going through, he's doing that by himself. I hear many people say, oh, I don't want to die alone. Let me explain something to you. When you're going through what you're going through, you do that on your own. I don't care if you're in a crowd of people. That is something you have to go through. Jesus, remember, is doing this not because he's done anything wrong. He took on our sin. He took on my sin. I don't think we really understand that. He became sin for us. He became the murderer, the liar, the thief, the abuser. He became all of that and took on the punishment of all of that for us. And now he's showing you how he felt. He put those feelings aside to take care of others, even from the cross. But now he wants you to see that he feels just like you feel. Don't think people say, well, he was God and man. Yes, he was, but he's showing you how the man was just like any other man who could feel pain and suffering and go through those mental pains as well. He's showing you that could happen to him. And it did happen to him. So when we come to God, he's one who does know because he's been there and done that. Okay. So yes, people say, well, wait a minute, you kind of contradicted yourself because you see he's going through all of this. Didn't his father, didn't God forsake him? I'm saying this here, and trust me, I'm just about done. Give me another minute or two. My sister's a brother, I serve the omnipotent, all-powerful God. And I know somebody's saying amen, because that's who God is. We know that. I serve the omnipresent, ever-present God. Ever-present. Just as sure as he's right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in America, with me, he is also over in Nigeria, Africa, China, anywhere else at the same time. You're saying, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it, just believe it. This, we're talking about God. We're not talking about anyone else. God, that's what makes him omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. Alpha as well as Omega. Not Alpha, then Omega. Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end at the same time. No, I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. That's why it's a miracle. That's why it's God. That's why it's supernatural, because it exceeds and it goes way beyond anything that we could naturally think of. It makes no sense. It makes no logical sense. I can bring out all the calculators, slide rules, computers, whatever I want, and it's not going to make any sense that you're trying to tell me God can be in the past as well as the future while he's yet in the present. It makes no sense. Yeah, that's God. That's who he is. That's what he does. That's what we believe. And then most of all, beloved, I serve the omniscient God, the all-knowing God. Okay? All-knowing. Now, beloved, I'm saying this, I'm gonna read this passage of scripture in your hearing. And it's just a second. And then I'm going to get ready to conclude. I'm going to be out of your way. This is coming from Psalm 139, the 7th through the 12th verses. And I need to read it. And I'm going to read it in a New International Version for you. Now listen to this. Listen to what we've been talking about. For some of you say, well, you're going a little bit left, Brother Cotton. I know what I've been hearing all these years about the darkness and about God forsaking him. I want y'all to hear this and tell me if you feel the same way. Psalm 139, the 7th verse and following. Watch this. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, now watch this, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Beloved, if God, I'm just going to say this here as I get ready to close, if God left from the presence of his son, you just tell me, where can the omnipresent God go? Where can he go? When he's everywhere at the same time, where could he go? That's just a question. I'm just raising a question. How can, for those who say that what the darkness did, how can the darkness keep the omnipresent and omniscient God from seeing what was going on with his son? We just heard the testimony. Coming from the 139 Psalm. Darkness is as light to him. He knows everything. He is everywhere. Darkness means nothing to him. It means something to us. Okay, the darkness was not, He did not call the darkness to come upon to hide his son from him or to hide him from his son. He didn't want us men to look upon his son in his greatest suffering. That was for man, not for them. Darkness means nothing to God. Y'all gotta understand who you're talking about. Okay? It was not God. When Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He wasn't talking about the embodiment of his Father. No. Remember what he called him. Eloi, Eloi, my strength. And he said, yes, it's interpreted, my God, okay, but go a little bit deeper, my strength, my might, my power. Why has thou forsaken me? I used to call on you. I would call on you in a time, and you would comfort me. You would give me encouragement, give me the strength to go on, even when I was in the garden at that point where I was just about ready to not do this. I drew from your strength. I can't draw from that strength now. The God man cannot draw from that strength now. That's what he was talking about. There's nowhere for God to go. But God did not say, son, I need to say this to you. No, he did not have that conversation with his son. He didn't say, look at what I've done, how I feed those who could not feed themselves, the animals, the insects, and the... No, you can't see that. You can't hear the praises of those you might be able to, just like for some of us, when we get down, we can bring up some songs and hymns and spiritual songs. That was like hearing the birds chirp and the animals with their sounds. That's almost like music to some. Maybe it would have even been music to Jesus, but you can't hear that now. You can't hear that now. You can't look up and see my beautiful artwork, handiwork in the sky that will remind you of me, remind you of how it is. We're getting ready to be in a few minutes. No, I can't do that. You've got to be like men. You've got to suffer like regular men. You have to do this. You knew this when we decided that you would come down and do this. But man, you knew you had to go through this. So no, I can't let you draw that strength that you used to. Not now. Not now. Eloi has to stay away. I can't give you that strength. I can't. I say this to you, beloved, and I'm finished. Yes, Jesus cried out, my strength, why have thou forsaken me, my power? Why has thou forsaken me, my might? Why has thou forsaken me? Yes, he cried that out. He let you see that side of him, that human side that suffers pain and anguish. He lets you see that. To let you know that he understands the pain, the anguish, the suffering that you go through. Somebody say, well, your pain is different than mine. I'll say this much. Pain, Jesus understands. Pain, when another person's been in pain, we understand pain. I may understand, may not understand how you receive your pain, how you deal with your pain, but I understand pain. Jesus could say that. Just remember that when you think about this fourth word, this word of anguish. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for just enlightening us by and through your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we can always remember that you understand anything and everything that we're going through. That's why we can depend on you. That's why we can lean on you. That's why we can call on you. That's why we can pour out our feelings to you, Lord, because you know them. And we thank you for that. And we just thank you, Lord, for saving our souls and dying for us. We can't thank you enough. We thank you, Lord, for never leaving us and never forsaking us. You're always right here. And wherever we are, you're always right there with us. And we thank you for that. And now, Lord, even as we go through this day, the rest of this day, as always, we pray, Lord, that you allow us to do some living and walking in your spirit. And of course, with our whole armor of God on, that we might be able to stand against the tricks, the traps, and attacks put on us by Satan and his minions. This we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless.